It's hard being a baby. This is a phrase that we say a lot in our house right now, almost daily. It's hard to adjust to life outside of the womb. It's hard to be hungry or cold or tired. It's just hard to be a baby. This phrase is kin to another favorite phrase in our house right now. It's hard to be a kid. It's hard not to be able to pour your own milk. It's hard to share your stuffies. It's hard to have no say over your schedule. And yet, the crucial chapter of God's love letter to humanity begins with God becoming a baby and a child. God chose a humble birth. Sure, there is trumpet and song and gifts, but never miss how strange and odd these are in the way they happen. They happen in fields with a bunch of teenage nobodies, not in a palace parapet. Look at the picture on your bulletin for a second. I'll give you a second to pull that out. Look at this picture. The Holy Family is not in a palace or even in a home surrounded by elated family. Instead, they're alone on a dirt floor in a small, plain room. I love that this image portrays the Holy Family like any other in the early newborn days. Exhausted and adjusting. Mary is so spent that she is sleeping slouched against a wheel spoke, and Joseph is quietly contemplating this newborn, perhaps wondering how is he going to bond with this little alien in his midst. And what if Jesus is colicky? What if Mary shakes him? What if Joseph accidentally drops him? What if he overheats or gets too cold or has a tongue tie and can't eat? Why would God do something so risky, so humbling, so humiliating, so human? God became vulnerable because we are vulnerable. God became human because we are human. God became humble. Because we humans, in the scope of things, each one of us, is just one humble, small person. An early church father explained it this way, saying, "That which is not assumed is not redeemed." In other words, God experiences every beautiful and tragic and mundane part of human experience in order to redeem it. Jesus, as a teeny little baby, assumes human experience starting at the very beginning of life. God became human all the way down. And in so doing, God lifts up the child and the childlike, not for pity's sake, but for our sake, so that wherever we encounter people who know their vulnerability and choose to live loving lives in the midst of it. Wherever we encounter that, we hear the song of salvation given to us as a gift. The God of all cosmic creation, the one who was before anything and created everything, the God who organized particles of atoms and set tectonic plates in motion, the God in whom we live and move and have our being, that God chose to squeeze into a teeny, tiny, little human body who cried for his mother and had a hard time. That is the gift of Christmas. And it's sometimes a gift that we wouldn't have hoped for if we planned it ourselves. How does a baby save us from war and rumors of wars? And yet, through magic untold, God became one of us, experiencing and redeeming infancy, all of our delight and our despair, all of our serenity and our sorrow, to give us the song of salvation. And if you pull up a chair really close, you can still hear that very song humming in our midst today. You can hear it in the nativity as children, not unlike Jesus himself, live out the story of his humble birth and the way it redeems even the most humble, humiliating, and human parts of life. This Christmas, may you hold fast to the God who formed you in your mother's womb, who loves and sustains and redeems you even now. Amen.